Thank you guys for having me. as he said, my name is Will Robbins. I currently own Empowered Sports Club. But as I was talking to Mick some years ago, we started kind of sharing my testimony, where I came from. And he had talked about, you know, some different ministries he's been involved with. And I don't get to do it as much anymore because I've been extremely busy. But I used to travel around and share my testimony from prisons to youth groups to juvenile facilities. Even when I was overseas, I got to go into a prison in the Middle East while I was over there and be able to talk to inmates. And so just to give you just kind of a brief kind of synopsis of my life, you know, I grew up, you know, my parents typical divorce when I was 2 years old. Seems like it's more and more common throughout our society. So my parents divorced when I was young, had all those issues, a lot of anger towards my dad, all of that. Raised by my mom, you know, started getting into trouble, ripping and running, doing stuff in the streets. And it, you know, I had a good sports career, but decided to get into, you know, the drinking and the drugs. You guys know the story, that kind of slippery slope. And so I had an opportunity to, I played every sport growing up, football, baseball, basketball, but decided at a pretty young age, I had an older sister that played volleyball in college, had a lot of opportunity to go on and play in college at IPFW here in Fort Wayne. And so that's how I ended up coming to Fort Wayne. But, you know, being here, you know, I was really kind of here to play. And then at the same time, really, I came from a little Logan Sport. If any of you guys know, if you go to Lafayette, down 24, Logan Sport is where I'm from originally. And so I thought I was coming to the big city when I came to Fort Wayne and was coming here to play for a D1 program, and we thought we were something special. And as you guys know, the nightlife in Fort Wayne. And so once I hit Fort Wayne, coming from Logan Sport to Fort Wayne, you know, it was either come out of Canterbury Green and go to college, you know, go to class, or come out, go the opposite direction and go to Pierre's and hit the nightclub. And so pretty quickly, my freshman and sophomore year, I really kind of went down that path of just drinking and partying and trying to live the kind of the college life that seems to be pretty common nowadays. But I didn't come from money. So, you know, to go out and drink, you know, every night with everybody and to try to act like I was somebody special, I had to hustle and grind. And so had a lot of partners back home that I could go pick some, you know, started off with a little bit of weed. You know, I could go pick up a few pounds and start selling. And then, as you guys know, if you've ever been in the game, it starts with a little bit of weed. And then next thing you know, we were shrooms, acid, ecstasy. It was the mid-90s into the early 2000s, and so it just turned into I was hustling and selling everything you can imagine. And that really just led down a slippery slope where I've been an entrepreneur my whole life, so I was always looking at different business opportunities. And whether it was drugs, whether it was a chop shop, whether it was cracking safes and ATM machines, we were involved at one time with a whole organization that was really doing about every illegal activity you could imagine that could make money. And so it really just went out of control. I mean, I ended up becoming eligible my sophomore year of college, lost playing sports, lost being focused on something positive and really trying to do something and finish my career too. I thought I just wanted to hustle, make money, open up my nightclub and kind of chase that party life of having a, you know, a bar nightclub that I could just party the rest of my life. And so went through, you know, multiple businesses and tried to do nightclub. We went everything to strip club to escort service. I was involved in about everything, like I said, you could imagine. And it all culminated into I had 32 people testify against me in front of a grand jury for a bank robbery I was involved with. And so that was probably the best thing that ever happened to me, though. I actually, to kind of give you a little history of where I came from, you know, I was never saved. You know, I had a mother who grew up in a Catholic church, a father who didn't get saved until he was on his deathbed about a year ago. And so, you know, I always had a head knowledge of God, like a lot of people I think in this world do, where God is more of a genie in a bottle. You know, we want to pray to God when we hit rock bottom. We want to pray to God when we want something. You know, we want to pray to God, you know, when we're in a tough situation we need out of or something that we want. And so I was that typical, you know, grew up thinking I was a Christian, you know, because I believed there was a God. And so I even, before Kanye made it cool, I had a little Jesus piece on my necklace that had the head of Jesus and a little crown of thorns with some diamonds, and on the backside had praying hands on it. And so I literally, while I'm hustling and grinding, I would have conversations and talk about God and talk about my belief in God, and even prayed before we hit the bank robbery that you let me get away with this. Nobody gets hurt. I'm done. I'm out of the game. I'm done with everything. And my reputation on the street was I was a man of my word. And so, believe it or not, I prayed before I hit the bank, was successful with the bank, and never did anything. Let me back up. I participated and used, but I didn't sell any more drugs. I got completely out of the game and stopped all illegal activity besides just my usage. And for about 5 months, I actually was trying to get my life together and was looking at some different legitimate businesses. But as you guys know, doesn't matter. Sometimes when you get caught up in that life, it doesn't matter if you turn yourself around. You've already done so much dirt in the past that it eventually catches up with you. And so, like I said, I turned around and had 32 people that ended up testifying against me in front of a grand jury. Basically, people that they rounded up in our whole big organization that were just telling on anything and everything that they knew. And so there was only two other guys that knew about the bank, but everybody knew about everything we were into. So long story short, ended up doing 7 years in the federal institutions throughout the Midwest. If anybody's been in the federal system, they bounce you around. I started at medium high in Kentucky, and then I was in Ohio, and then I was in Minnesota. It blew my knee out, had to have surgery. They sent me to Rochester, Minnesota. And so bounced around the Midwest. But one of the best things that happened to me was while I was in Costa Rica, right before I got locked up, I was really at a tipping point in my life where it was either go on the run for the rest of my life. I'm out of the country already. This is after the bank robbery. This is 2 months after the bank robbery. And like I said, I had stopped everything. So I kind of cashed out. And I was thinking about, as you guys know, if they're looking for you, the only way you don't go to jail is you got to go on the run the rest of your life and cut ties with family and everybody that you ever cared about. And so I really had a tough dilemma. And then I had one main person that was actually snitching on me, that I actually had a whole murder plot and everything to take care of this guy who was the main guy that could tie me to everything. And so it was really the toughest dilemma of my life, being out of the country down there, knowing that my world was caving in and everything was coming down on me and I was about to do a lot of time. And we had already heard rumors of different people snitching and just everybody getting popped. And as you guys know, once the dominoes start falling and they start making offers to everybody, they're just slowly climbing up the ladder, trying to get who they want to get. And so really, I had to make the toughest decision of my life. It was either continue on to try to get out of this situation and commit a murder, or go on the run in a combination of the rest of my life, or just finally face everything and stop running and finally get my life together and have to face everything else I was dealing with. And not to go off, I know I only got 20, 30 minutes, but I had 6 other state cases when I caught my Fed case. So it wasn't just my Fed case I had to deal with. I had 6 other state cases. And if anybody else knows, I mean, you catch cases and then, you know, I was constantly trying to fight them and, you know, and having lawyers to try to go and beat them and postpone them, and I'd catch another case. And so honestly, you know, the best thing that could have happened to me was me getting locked up. And, you know, initially, you know, I was facing 27 to life. Because with the bank robbery, I actually ended up taking one of the tellers with me and had her drive me to a location outside of the city. So they gave me kidnapping, which carries a life sentence. And so imagine being 24 years old, facing 27 to life, you know, and that whole moment when I was down in Costa Rica, it was really that time where I had to try to decide what I was going to do with my life. And I didn't know, obviously, everything that was about to happen. I didn't know the 27 to life yet, but I knew everybody was telling it was going down. And so I really had to make that decision. And if it wasn't for God, and my mother had just gotten saved right before that, I was able to travel and see some of my family, and had a real heart to heart with my father and my mother. And, you know, they really pleaded with me. They knew I was involved in certain stuff, and they basically were pleading with me, like, please just don't do anything stupid. You know, we're here for you. We'll be here for you when you get out. Just please, just whatever, you know, whatever you've got cooking, just don't do anything else stupid. Face whatever you got to face, and we'll be here for you. And I actually ended up making it to one service Like I said, my mother had just gotten saved, so I went in support of her to be able to go and listen to her local pastor. And really, God used a combination of just my mother, my grandmother, that message that pastor had preached that day, and just my family and everybody to really make the right decision of, you know what, I'm just going to have to finally own up to all of this and just face my past and have to just deal with my whatever they throw at me. And then, of course, you know, once I got arrested and got locked up and I'm facing 27 to life, and they knew I had just come back from out of the country, they gave me like a $1 million bond. I wasn't getting out anyways. And so God really put me in a situation where I made the decision not to do anything stupid. And then I had nothing but time, you know, sitting in there to really think about, you know, my next steps and my next, you know, chapter in my life. And like I said, God had just opened up so many doors before I got locked up. But then right after I got locked up, you know, I was sitting in a cell, just, you know, I'd reached out, you know, prayed for the first time, really sincerely, I would say, right before I got locked up down in Costa Rica, just asking God to make himself real to me and just, you know, asking him, you know, what my purpose in life was. And I knew it wasn't to do the stuff that I was doing. And so just asking him to make himself real to me. And that's one kind of side note for everybody. I hope all of you guys, no matter where you are, you know, you really ask those questions. You know, if you're not sure if God is real, ask God. God will make himself real to you. He'll show you how real he is. But you got to be sincere and you got to be truly seeking him, and he will be there. And so, you know, I kind of, you know, had that little moment down in Costa Rica, finally cried out. And like I said, the combination between family, my mother, grandmother, that pastor, and then Resurrection Sunday in 2002, there was a pastor by the name of Dr. Robert Cosby, had never been into a county jail, got called last minute to come in and preach a message in the county jail. And me and a couple of guys that I knew that I went to high school with ended up getting saved that day. And that Dr. Cosby, ever since then, has been a really a spiritual mentor. And now he's a chaplain of a prison out in Arizona. And God really used him, even him coming into Logansport in that county jail for the first time. Next thing you know, he was a chaplain of the county jail there in Cass County, and then ended up going back out to Arizona. And now he's a chaplain out there. So God's been using him in the ministry. But because of him, and he followed me around the different prisons I went to, and really just, you know, mentored me, you know, as some of these guys have done for you guys, and just helped me through the process, helped me deal with a lot of the issues that I had in my past, try to figure out and identify where a lot of my anger came from. You know, it was me coming to grips with a lot of the shortcomings of my father, you know, and me blaming my father for not being there, not really being the man he should have been. But at a certain point, you gotta tell yourself, you're a grown man now. You can't continue to live in the past and continue to blame people from the past. You know, now that you've come to grips with that, no, that's who, you know, that's how you were raised. That's the hand you were dealt. Now it's on you to really take responsibility of, where do I go from here? And I really finally got to that point that I finally owned up to, I'm in the mess I'm in because of my own decisions. You know, and really had to come to that, you know, to that point, even with the people who snitched on me, you know, that, you know, yeah, those people told on me, but in the end, I did the crimes that they were telling on, and I could be upset with them, but in the end, I really went through, once I got saved and God really did a work on my heart, I really looked at, you know, when they talked about, you know, Joseph being sold into slavery by his brothers, if you go all the way back into the Old Testament times, when he finally had an opportunity, when he had been elevated to, you know, the Pharaoh's right-hand man and had an opportunity, you know, to get revenge on his brothers, you know, he basically told him, what you guys meant for evil, God meant for good. And if it wasn't for him being sold into slavery, the children of Israel would have died of famine. You know, and so I really actually ran into it. One of the main dudes that actually snitched on me, and the dude who actually we had the murder plot on, I ran into him at a nightclub after getting out some years later. And the dude turned me, he's a light skinned dude, turned white and turned around and went straight back out the door. And I had to catch him and let him know, like, listen, man. And I told him the same thing. I promise you, I have no ill feelings because you guys saved my life. If you guys hadn't have told on me, I get you were trying to get out of your own mess. But if you didn't tell on me, I would end up dead or, you know, actually doing a life sentence. I said, so what you guys might have meant for evil, I said, God meant for good. And if it wasn't for that situation and me doing that time, then I wouldn't have turned my life around. I truly believe that, you know, because for some of us, I don't know about you guys, but I'm hard-headed. You know, it takes me once or twice or 12 times to finally learn. And it took for me really to hit rock bottom, you know, and I've been in and out of the county jails and fought a bunch of cases and stuff, but it took for me to be facing finally a life sentence and not being able to bond out, not being able to get my lawyer to get me out, you know, not being able to go and duck my responsibilities and duck all the stuff that I had, you know, got myself into. And so I had that conversation with him. And I've had that same conversation with actually my co-defendant, who actually ended up turning and got me more time because of his testimony. And so, you know, it really, for me, I turned a corner when I finally really looked at my life and I really started reflecting, like, what is my purpose in life? What am I doing here? Because I know it's not to do the stuff that I'm doing. And I think if everyone does a lot of soul searching, you know, the stuff that you were doing, ripping and running, whatever got you into trouble, not what you were meant to do. You all know down deep, you're destined for greatness. You're destined for something. And so this is something that we even teach with our kids. We talk about what is true success, you know, and we really kind of narrow it down to three things. One, finding your purpose in life. What were you created and designed to do? You know, what are you passionate about? What do you feel that you have the unique gifts and talents to be able to do to make an impact in this society? You know, and then it's figuring out, you know, how do I maximize my full potential now? You know, once I recognize all those gifts and talents, how do I maximize, you know, all of these gifts and talents God has given me to fulfill that calling? And then that third is being able to give back, you know, and John Maxwell talks about sowing seeds that benefit others, you know. And so really, I kind of went through that process before I even knew the quote from John Maxwell of, one, I really just started seeking God and asking God to make himself real to me. And I started just reading the word and not even knowing what I was doing initially. I mean, I started in the beginning, you know, it's like a book, you know, every book you start in the beginning. Well, I started reading the Bible in Genesis, first page, and was just reading, which, you know, if you're trying to minister to somebody, don't have them just start at the beginning in Genesis, you know, because that's a lot of, you know, that Old Testament can get people bogged down and people get lost real quick. But, you know, it just really, for me, it was just seeking God and figuring out, okay, what is that purpose? You know, I knew it's something with sports. I had the potential to go off and play professionally and play on the national team and all these things. But I also felt like, you know, my grandmother told me, she said, you got to figure out if you want to get into helping youth and mentoring kids, and that's something you feel called to do, you know, how can you reach a kid who used to be like you? And, you know, and really challenged me. And I started thinking about how can I reach a kid who used to be like me? Who did I listen to? Well, it was either my coaches in sports who were, you know, were mentors, or it was the OGs on the block that were teaching me the game and teaching me how to hustle. And so I really looked at it, and that's where God put it on my heart to not have a ministry behind a pulpit, but have a sports ministry where I can be the coach. You know, and they talk about a coach is one of the most influential people in a young kid's life. So I can impact kids' lives, you know, and use my testimony, you know, and be able to use, you know, sports to coach and mentor these kids. But then also with my past and everything that I've done, I'm able to go now and talk to these young kids and talk about where that life ultimately leads to. And now I'm kind of able to be able to talk to those kids from, you know, being that OG who's been there and who's actually done all that stuff that they're trying to do and chasing those dreams of making money. And I had the Navigators and the 22s and the rims and, you know, the jewelry and all the drugs and the women and everything that the world tells us brings you satisfaction and brings you happiness. I had all that, and I was absolutely miserable and really hated the life that I had created and hated the way that I had gotten there. And so then I'm able to then explain to these young kids that, you know, now, and even really getting out of prison, I had one suit left when I got out. They took everything else from me. But having Christ and getting out with nothing, I had more joy and peace, and having a clear vision of what I was going to do with the rest of my life, and was happier getting out of prison with nothing in that one suit than I ever was when I had everything that the world had to offer. And so that's really, you know, kind of my message in a nutshell is, you know, we all have to get to that point where we got to, you know, come to grips with our own lives and ask ourselves, what is our purpose in life? You know, and really try to do some serious soul searching and figure out, what is our purpose? What am I here for? You know, and I know that's a big question and it can seem like a lot, but really just look at what you're passionate about. Look at your skills, your gifts, your talents. You know, and I truly believe if you start to pursue those gifts and talents and that passion, you know, there's ways to turn any of it into a legit hustle, into a legal hustle, into a career, into a ministry, into, you know, whatever you want it to be. And that's where, you know, my wife grew up on the opposite side of the street that I grew up on, you know, grew up in the church, never been in trouble. And, you know, met me 10 years after I had been saved. And her biggest fear is me going back to that old lifestyle. And as I've told her, I realize now there's too many legal hustles. There's too many ways to make money. You know, there's too many ways to be successful in this life. If you want to hustle and grind and put the time in, I'll never go back to hustling that way. Because, yeah, you can make money faster, but you'll never win at the game anymore. Because now with the feds, especially, and conspiracy and RICO and all, they don't need evidence anymore. All they need is one person talking and telling on you. And it might even be the person you bought it from. It's not even the people you sell it to anymore. And so you'll never win at the game. And in even the money and in whatever you accomplish when you're in that lifestyle, you know, anybody who's been there knows, like, you're constantly paranoid, worrying about getting robbed, worrying about getting arrested. You know, I couldn't drive down the street. If I saw cops, I would hit three corners, you know, and it would just be a cop on a bicycle, you know. Like, I just was constantly paranoid and constantly always looking over my shoulder. And that's no way to live your life. And I'm telling you, I'm almost a little cocky and arrogant now when I see a cop, because I now know, like, I actually have a license now. You know, I went like 10 years with a driving while suspended and caught like 10 driving while suspended, was doing all my dirt with no license, you know, and so was super paranoid. Well, now I have a license. All my stuff is legit. They can pull me over. They can search the cars now. And so it's one of those things where I now have more peace and happiness with Christ and knowing my purpose, even when I had nothing. And what's so ironic is everything that I always thought I wanted when I was ripping and running and doing all the illegal things to try to get all this material wealth, God has blessed me with all of that now by doing it the right way. And, you know, God took a 2-time convicted felon, you know, and opened up so many doors, and God just showed me just favor with so many people. I went through 5 businesses in 5 different years. You know, I got a personal training degree or certification while I was locked up. You know, as soon as I got out and I was in the halfway house, I got Reverend Ron Gaston has a facility up in Michigan City called Temple Total Fitness. He did some prison time. He's got a gym up there. And within 2 weeks of being in the halfway house, he gave me a key to open up his own facility and go in there and do personal training. You know, and that's just one of the many stories I could tell you where I felt God was calling me to get into sports performance and training and start training athletes. And once I understood this was part of my purpose and I started to walk in that and I started to make choices, getting educated, going and taking advantage of opportunities, next thing you know, God's showing me favor with a guy while I'm in the halfway house after just doing 7 years in the Fed joint. This dude didn't know me from Adam. I just called him on the phone and was looking at different gyms trying to get a personal training gig in one of these gyms. And next thing you know, I'm training his wife, her friend. I'm training all these kids, got involved in this little kids. It's called Working Out with the Rev, little kids program there he's got. And it just, God opened up so many doors once I started pursuing my calling and pursuing my purpose. And I truly believe that, I mean, when you know, Paul talked about, you know, being one of the chief sinners, I was about as wicked and nasty as you could get. I mean, I know I've cleaned myself up a little bit. You know, I've been saved now for almost, well, I just celebrated this Easter, 19 years I've been saved. I know I try to keep the gray shade down, but I'm actually 43. But, you know, like, God has done so many different things and taken one of the wicked, most vile sinners and now uses me to mentor these young athletes. And now I got a 90,000 square foot facility. You know, that we have over 1,000 athletes that come through. We've got turf in one building, so we've got football, rugby, soccer, baseball in there. I've got hard courts, so I got volleyball, futsal, I've got beach courts. And so we've got kids going to college. You know, we've got kids that we're mentoring every single day. And like I said, I'm a 2-time convicted felon, you know. And so I promise you guys, you know, if God can do it for me, he can do it for all of you guys. But at the same time, I'm not going to lie to you, it's not an easy road. I mean, a lot of people talk about, you know, you want to be an entrepreneur. I just sat and talked with a young guy I'm mentoring. I put in 120 hours a week. You know, I told you I went through five businesses, you know, with different small little gyms, that I was literally there 120 hours a week, where a lot of people think, you know, hey, 40 hours a week, I put my time in, like I got that by Tuesday, you know, and to be successful, especially once we already make some bad choices and put ourselves in a situation where it's already an uphill battle, you're going to have to give 80, 100 hours a week and work twice as hard as the next person. I had a terrible reputation I had to overcome, all because of dumb choices that I made, you know? And so I had a bunch of relationships I had to repair with my family, with just my community, and just all the stuff that I had done. I had a big uphill battle. You know, I'm working with young athletes now, you know, being a two-time convicted felon. You know, I was under the microscope. And as soon as I became a competitor, and I got the biggest sports program in town now, you know, of course, my competitors were like, you know, he's a convicted felon. And yeah, he's got a reputation. And do you know anything about him? It's like, yeah, I got a TV show that talks about my life now. There's four episodes. You can go watch it yourself. You know, God has opened up doors where if anybody's watched Restoration Road, I know Mick has seen it. Mitch Cruz is a pastor in this area and has different people on sharing their testimony. And so Mitch has had me come on and share my testimony. And so, you know, I share it with my young athletes, you know, and so I'm open and honest about my past and open and honest about my convictions and stuff. But better believe there's haters out there who have tried to go and twist it around and tried to use it against me. So I've had to work twice as hard or three times as hard as anybody else to be successful. So, you know, yes, we talk about finding your purpose, and I hope everyone here finds your purpose. But understand that really maximize your potential, that second step, we got to realize it's going to be harder. You know, it's going to be harder than somebody who hasn't got a couple strikes against them or hasn't made some bad decisions and got some baggage. So that's just something we got to accept. You know, and that took a while for me to really accept and understood that I had to really work twice as hard and I had to put the time in, you know, and too many times, you know, I've been good. I haven't done anything. I'm working this legit job. It's been 6 months. Wait, why are you guys still bringing up my past? You know, well, guess what? It's been now 19 years and I still got family members like, yeah, just hope you just don't put your mother back through what you put her back through before. And hope you don't go back to that old life. Like, come on, man. That's been 19 years, man. Like, you got to let it go. I'm a different person. And so it's one of those things where you just got to know people are going to bring up your past. You know, you're going to get some doors slammed in your face, you know, but you got to keep believing that, you know, the right people, you know, the right doors will be open if you're truly pursuing God and you're pursuing your purpose, you know, and you're doing all the things that you need to do to maximize your potential, you know. And then as soon as you get there and you start to have that success, that's where I truly believe giving back and taking somebody else with you is also part of what God has called us to do, you know. And each generation should be going and gaining wisdom and then sharing it with the next generation. So each generation of humanity gets more and more sophisticated and more intelligent. And so, you know, as we learn these valuable life lessons that we're all learning, you know, and then it's time to give back to the next generation and to the young, you know, adults that are in our community now who are starting to go down the same path and starting to make some of the bad decisions that we've all made. And so really, that's kind of my story in a nutshell. And I truly just want to kind of leave that with you guys that, you know, we're all at different places in life. But I truly believe if you can figure out what you believe God has called you to do and what your purpose is, you know, and even if you're not sure, figuring out what your strengths and weaknesses are and really figure out what you're passionate about, really dive into that wholeheartedly. And really seek God and look, and God will open up doors and he will provide a way for you to make a career out of whatever that passion is. And like I said, I started with just a little, you know, I got a personal training certification. I read a book, got a certification, you know, and then next thing you know, I started pursuing that and, you know, started training. Next thing you know, I went through a couple of gyms, just my reputation as I trained and took care of people. You know, each gym led to the next gym and went from, you know, being in a small little studio to a larger studio. We had one in Leo, then I had Anytime Fitness, then we opened up the Parkview Sport One Fieldhouse, you know, and then I had an opportunity to buy the old Pine Ridge Racket and Fitness Club, and that's what we turned into Empowered about 8 years ago. And so, you know, here I am. I don't even have a college degree. You know, I tried going back once I got out. You know, I was taking 18 credit hours on top of about to open up the Anytime Fitness, on top of opening up the Sport One Fieldhouse, and I was helping manage that place and couldn't even finish my degree. I had to put it back on hold. So, you know, I know sometimes we can all use the excuse of, you know, well, I don't have a degree. I got to, you know, I'm a convicted felon. I have this, I have that. We all have a lot of excuses. You know, we can all figure out reasons to not be successful. But the simplest quote I've ever heard is, hey, winners win. Winners figure out ways to win. Losers find excuses, you know. And so this is what I tell my athletes, but it's applicable to life. Winners figure out ways to win. You know, losers look for excuses, you know. And I truly believe everybody in here is winners. We just got to figure out how to win. We got to set ourselves up for success and truly figure out what our gifts and talents are, and what we feel passionate about, and what we feel God has called us to do. And if you start pursuing that, the doors will start opening, and you'll get to those levels of success that you want to have. But understand, it is going to be harder, and it's going to take longer than what you thought. But, you know, I was nobody special, I promise you. And if God can do it for me and all the wickedness and dumb stuff that I've done, I promise you, he can do it for you guys and get you to where you guys are who God has called you to be, and you are making the impact in our society that he's, you know, that he's created you and designed you for, you know, because we all have a destiny and we all have greatness within us, and you guys got to figure that out, and everyone's got to figure out what you're here on this earth for, and you're all still alive for a reason. And that's the final thing. No matter how bad it gets, realize you're still alive for a reason, and as long as you're still breathing, you got a purpose. And you got something that you can do to make an impact, and you can make a legacy and still turn it around. Okay, I went over and played professionally at 32 years old after doing 7 years in prison. I got to go represent the USA team at 40 years old and got to go to Russia, all expense paid. Some people know Loy Ball, the gold medalist that lives about 40 minutes north of here. He's a good friend of mine. So Loy and I got to go represent the USA team and go over to Russia about 3 years ago. And so here I was pursuing my professional career at 32 years old and finally getting to wear the USA jersey at 40 years old, you know, when I should have been wearing it at 22 and 23. And with Loy at the Olympic team, you know, obviously I had to go the kind of the hard route. But I promise you, if he can kind of redeem all of my past and everything that I screwed up and be able to get me back there financially with my family, with my sports career and all of that, no matter what you guys have lost, I promise you, he can restore all of that and beyond, where now I have more than I could ever wish or even, you know, hope for. And I've done it the right way, you know, and I haven't had to hustle and grind, and the feds can't come and take my stuff anymore. I don't have to worry about getting pulled over anymore. And it's all to the glory of God. And he's provided, I mean, for everything, my job, my wife, my family, you know, and yeah, in the end, you know, I know sometimes, you know, I grew up kind of thinking like, that pastor doesn't know what he's talking about. He grew up in the church. He grew up with a silver spoon in his mouth. Hey, I didn't have anything. You know, I've been there. You know, I've been homeless, sleeping on friends' couches, you know, drinking, snorting, smoking, everything you could imagine, anything we get our hands on, and try to sell whatever to try to hustle and grind. And so, yeah, here we are 19 years later. And I couldn't honestly ask for anything else. God truly has blessed me. But yeah, obviously life's not perfect, but in the end, it's more than I could have ever hoped for. And I've got more peace now doing what I do, and I don't need all the fancy stuff that I thought was going to bring me happiness. Having what I have now, I'm happy and content. So thank you guys. I'll hang out for a few minutes. If anybody has any questions, or if anybody wants to talk afterwards, and all of you guys are welcome. Anytime you guys want to stop out at the facility, you guys are welcome to come out. If you guys have any kids, you know, your kids want to participate in any of the different sports, we've got a nonprofit now that we started and raised funds. So you know, we're able to give financial aid. So, you know, one of the first things that I did when I started my programs was, no kid will never be, you know, not be able to do any of my programs because of where their families are financially. So I used to just write off a lot of money, but now we've got our nonprofits, so we're able to go and financially be able to fund kids participating in our programs. So yeah, all of you guys are always welcome at the facility. And then yeah, if you've got any kids that want to get into sports, yeah, we try to truly, I mean, our motto is empowering the mind, body, and soul of champions. So we've really tried the holistic approach where, you know, we're not just trying to train them physically, but also mentally, but then spiritually as well, because, you know, we don't want them just to be successful in sports, but then be terrible human beings, have no character. So anybody have any questions? Yeah. So right on Highway 3, Lima Road, just north of Carroll Road. So there's a Ricker, CVS, Walgreens, where the big metal buildings, and then our beach facility now looks like a huge tent. Yes. It's a big navy and white structure. It's got 5 beach courts inside of there.
Okay, because I'm going to be getting my son back, and he wants to be a ninja and all sorts of things. So,
yeah,
you know, he's come from a rough childhood himself, you know, so I think he would benefit from somebody like you and your, you know, staff members. So.
Yeah, no, definitely. One of my staff members, yeah, he does a bunch of foster care. He's been a youth minister. So, nice. Yeah, he does a lot of work with troubled teens and kids who are.
He's 7, but he's been molested. And his dad's friends care.
Oh, wow.
I was on meth, so, and then I was told I didn't have custody of my son, which the father of my child's girlfriend actually come to find out kidnapped my child and got full custody of my child. So, like you said, you know, if you didn't go to prison, you know, you would have never been saved. Like, I feel that so, so deeply, because I feel like if my son did not get taken, I had 2 months to live. I was bad on methamphetamine. I was 98 pounds. And I feel like God took my kid away from his dad to get my head out my butt, you know, and get my son back. And hopefully June 14th, I will be getting my son back.
Yeah, so, praise God.
Yeah, so he definitely needs something like that. Like, that really is awesome.
For sure. No. Yeah, definitely bring him out. Yeah, no, and like she said, that's a perfect point I forgot to mention, is we all got to hit rock bottom sometime. And for me, it took for me when I was sitting there facing a life sentence. But hopefully you guys have all hit rock bottom and you've made that choice that I'm going to turn around and I'm tired of getting what I'm getting and the life that I'm living. And that's the one thing we used to joke around. We used to see guys get out and come back while we were still locked up. And we used to joke around, these dudes are doing a life sentence on an installment plan. You know, like, they don't realize it. They're getting out, coming back 2 years, get out, come back 4 years. And as you guys know, the legal system, they don't give you less time. Every time you get locked up, they're going to give you more time and more time and more time. And it really comes down to us. How hard headed are we? You know, at what point do we finally break and say, enough is enough. I'm tired of getting what I'm getting, and I'm going to change and make different choices and finally turn it around. And only God knows, you know, what it's going to take. You know, only you know, you know, when you're finally at that breaking point where you're tired and you want to turn it around. And I promise you, though, when you do and you look to God and you truly start seeking him and his purpose for your life, I promise you, it'll come full circle. And you know, everything that you've ever desired, whether it's getting your kids back, you know, I mean, God has restored all of my relationships with family members, and everything that I lost over the years, God slowly restored all those relationships. And and he could do the same thing for you guys.
I want to piggyback off of that.
Yeah.
I have not been here in a year since COVID hit, and I've been contemplating coming, and he used you tonight to speak to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel a lot of fiery arrows coming at me. I'm coming up on 9 years clean this month. So the arrows are coming. They're coming. They're coming. They're coming. So my heart, God has put on my heart to open up my own halfway house.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, I got the capital. I got the building. You know, I got the facility. And you ministering to me.
Yeah.
Like I came here tonight on a night when you tell me to follow my passion. Like yeah. I keep saying I can't do it.
Yeah.
Follow your dreams. What is your passion? What are you? You telling me? You telling me?
Yeah.
Like he used you. I came tonight for you yeah. to confirm what he want to do with me.
Amen. Yeah.
You know. So hallelujah.
Yeah. No, and I truly believe, like I said, I mean, that pastor that was speaking that day, you know, my grandmother, my mother, like you, God has a way of using different people. Just if you'll look to him, God has a way of showing you the signs. And then once he shows you, you got to go, you know, and it's one of those things, you got to step out in faith. You know, and I'll tell you guys a little secret, you know, when it came to starting my business, I was back taking my school, you know, back doing my classes. I took school loans. That's how I started my first business. I didn't have any cash. I didn't have any money. I told you I was a convicted felon coming out, you know, but, you know, obviously, you know, you got to get creative. And I ended up going with my student loans, you know, as I started taking classes again and using student loans to open up my first gym. You know, and there was just so many doors that got opened up, you know, through the school, through just people I was training, and the word of mouth just spread by doing the right thing. All of a sudden, each business continued to grow into now, you know, I can go to the bank and get whatever I need with our, you know, with our facility. And I was able to go and do $1 million expansion when we added on the beach facility and the parking lot and do all that stuff. You know, God has blessed me with good people in my corner and good businessmen around me. And so, yeah, but it was the same thing. I was scared to death, too, thinking, what am I going to do? And came up here to work with my family's business and, you know, trying to do some medical equipment sales, you know. And, you know, but that wasn't what I was, you know, I knew long term I was supposed to do. But it was God getting me up here, getting me back around sports and around IPFW and these guys. And, you know, finally, I took that leap of faith to start my business and start doing personal training. And it just really, you know, kind of grew. Yeah, and one thing led to another. And then here we are now with 90,000 square feet. So I had no doubt. I mean, you pursue, you know, your passion and giving back, you know, and being able to make a difference in other people's lives that are coming home, you know, with your past and your story. I mean, who knows? You might have three or four here, you know, in the next 5 years, or one big facility that you're housing 50, 100 people coming through there, and you're making a huge difference in people's lives. You know, I started with, you know, 7 athletes when I came home. So I went overseas at 32, and while I was overseas playing, I decided I was going to start my business when I came home, and I took that leap of faith when I came home and stopped doing the medical equipment and just started the personal training, and 7 kids doing lessons and sports performance, and then it just grew. So I started renting a little studio, and then I was able to get a bigger studio, and one thing just led to another. Same thing like you're talking about. Start with a building. You got the passion. You got the drive. Before you know it, it'll lead to a bigger building and more people that you're helping. But the hardest thing is to take that leap of faith. It's easy to go back to hustling because that's what we know. And it's easy money, and it's always going to be there. Yeah, but there's a scripture that's repeated twice that I really held on to. It said, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end is the way of death. And we got to realize that it seems right in our mind. We can hustle and grind and make a lot of money really fast and have everything that the world has to offer. But in the end, that life ultimately leads to death. You know, and you know, it's only death and destruction. And so it took for me to finally realize that when I was sitting there with nothing and I lost everything, to realize, what am I doing with my life? You know, like this is just a vicious cycle of sin that I'm never going to get out of until I just own up to everything, face all the consequences, and then finally put it behind me and start making the right decisions. And then that's the final thing. I mean, I know I've talked way too long, but better choices. I mean, that's really, I'm finally just making that choice, you know, whether it's choosing to step up and start that business, you know, choosing every day to hustle and grind and bust your butt to try to work your way up, whatever business that you're in, you know, you just got to make better choices. The same way we made bad choices and led to where we were all locked up or got into trouble, whatever. It's about choices, you know. And I've talked to some of the highest level coaches around the world now, and national team coaches. And everyone always talks about, what's it take to win a national championship? What's it take to be an elite level athlete? And in the end, it's choices. Choosing every day to work out. Choosing every day to eat healthy. Choosing every day to give 110%. It's the same thing in life. How you want to be successful in life. Choose every day the right choices, you know, to be healthy, to make healthy choices, you know, good decisions, good relationships, you know, going to places that we know, you know, are going to give us positive results. There's certain places I can't go anymore. I can't go out to the nightclub anymore. I know, real quickly, I can go back to that old temperament, you know, and before I know it, I'll get caught up in some foolishness, being in the wrong place at the wrong time type of situation. So I know I can't go, you know, back to certain clubs, you know. And so, yeah, it's just choices, choosing who we hang around, choosing what we do every day, how hard we work, you know, going out to, maybe we got to start at a low paying minimum wage job and choose to eat our pride for a little while and bust our butt to be able to build up a reputation and build up, you know, some work ethic and, you know, and a name that we can then eventually get a higher paying position or get another opportunity. And that's exactly what God did. He opened up door after door once I finally started making the right choices. Anybody else?
Well, we sure appreciate it, Will. How about you? Thank you. That was a powerful testimony. We sure appreciate it. Yes. How about, would you pray us out? You mind?
Yeah, definitely. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time to be able to get together in fellowship. Lord, you know everything that is on each and every person's heart, Lord. You know the purpose that you have for their life. You know the calling, the gifts, the talents that you have given each and every one of them. Lord, I pray that you will touch each and every one of them, that you will reveal to them what is their purpose in life, Lord, and what their calling in life is, and give them the strength and the courage to reach out in faith and to step out into your calling and your will for their life and to choose today to serve you and to pursue your will for their life, Lord. And I pray that you will bless them the same way that you have with me and my life, and just bless each and every one of these guys and girls abundantly, Lord, and just help them through any of the tough situations that they're currently dealing with, Lord, whether it's financially, whether it's housing, whether it's a job. I pray that you will just open up doors, that you will show them favor with everyone that they come in contact with, that you will just give them words of wisdom, that you'll give them all the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that they need to go out and be successful in relationships and workplaces, that they'll make the right decisions to ultimately get them to your purpose and calling for their life, and to the level of success and greatness that you have called each and every one of these young people to, Lord. And I pray that you will just be with each and every one of them, Lord, as we depart, that you'll keep a hedge of protection around each and every one of them, Lord, and that you will bless them in their days, Lord. We just thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.